Hello, this is Ryan Underwood, business editor at Vanderbilt University's Owen Graduate School of Management. Two giants of the tech industry, Apple and Google, both recently announced major management changes. First, at Apple, Steve Jobs said he would take another medical leave, making Tim Cook acting CEO. Then Google co-founder Larry Page announced that he would replace longtime CEO Eric Schmidt, in part to, quote, speed up decision-making at the company. David Owens, who teaches business strategy and innovation at Owen, shares his thoughts on how both moves may affect the companies. David, let's start with Apple and the news about Steve Jobs. Any just overall thoughts about what that means for the company?
Yeah, it is. I think it's an important thing because the sense of Jobs' destiny and Apple's destiny being so interlinked is I guess it's like a legend now of sorts, and so it really is a I think it's worth looking at, and to the extent that it becomes a thing that people talk about, that it's in the newspaper all the time, and people want to know his medical history. I mean, when's the last time you heard the medical history of the CEO of Bank of America or of Target or a place like that? And so I think there's something about him and something about the that company that gets people's imagination going.
Right. And he's definitely been on a roll, or Apple has been on a roll in the last 12 months, 2 years. First with the iPhone and now with the iPad and have seen.
Well, even before that, you could take back to the iPod.
Right.
Which was a pretty big breakthrough, I think, of sorts. And I think it's kind of interesting because I think the to me, I work in the area of innovation and even new product development, and to me it's interesting because I feel like people don't really understand as much how those products come to be, and that they that there are ways that they we overemphasize Steve Jobs' role in that, and then maybe ways that we underemphasize or that we don't realize what the role might actually be when the products come into being.
Right, and we've heard a lot about people like Jonathan Ive, who's the head of design, Tim Cook, who's going to be running day-to-day, and they certainly seem like they, have what it takes to get these products out. Obviously, Jonathan Ive with his designs has seen a lot of success. But, you know, there's a lot of talk about Steve Jobs actually bringing some sense of, I mean, it's called, magic this process.
Yeah.
I mean, how much, especially just looking broadly across companies, when you think about innovation, how much of that tends to be inside of an individual, or how much contribution can one individual make versus having an innovation company?
Yeah, that's interesting. In some ways, I don't think of Apple as really that innovative. I think it's a company that's great at executing these visions. And so there's a vision of the Macintosh, and this company that executes it really well, this vision of the iPod and executes it. But if you look at their product line, it's not really that deep and it's not really that broad. You look in their, their website, one page holds pretty much everything they have. You know, you see the Macs and you see the iPods and now you see the iPad and the iPhones, but really there aren't that many products. And so in some ways, the kind of normally way we think of innovation or creativity, there's not this proliferation of all different kinds of ideas. Like Google, for example, would have a different approach. But what Apple is a bit good at, and which is also still a part of innovation, is execution. Because you have to have an idea, then you have to make the idea happen in order for that thing to get adopted. And so I think that those players, and maybe this is part of what people are worried about, that those parts of the team, let's call it a team, Ives and Campbell I'm sure there's a much larger team, are able to help Jobs see what he needs to see. They're able to help him articulate what it is, and they're able to help him push that through. I've worked in, and probably lots of people have worked in, organizations where you realize it's really hard to get something done. It tends to be easier for Steve to get it done because he has this mythic legendary status. And so there's that part. But then also, interpersonally, he's very demanding. He really knows what he wants. And once he's got his mind set on something, it's hard to get him off that. And there's all sorts of funny stories and non-funny stories, actually, about his behavior with his employees and with other people. But he really, once he knows what he wants, he really wants that. And so I don't think that we're going to be, all of a sudden, Apple will be missing the ideas, or we'll be missing the ability to put those ideas. So have this idea for a product, for an iPad that has one button, and the idea is still probably going to come out. But whether the people who are still there are able to push that through in the way And so it's not that the idea won't. So the idea part, I think, is what people are saying Jobs brings, but that's probably not what he brings. He probably brings the execution part, mm-hmm. which is to push it through. Mm-hmm. And then also he's able to, you might find in any project you work on that when at the beginning of the project you have this vision for what it is, and by the time you get to the end that sometimes we sort of forget what that vision was and we sort right. of lose our way a little bit, especially if it's a long development cycle. And for Jobs, he's able to stick to that initial thing, and he's right. really able to hold people to it. Which allows you to execute because you're not constantly changing and then second guessing and backstepping, but you're able to actually get the thing done. And so I think the part of Jobs' status and also his willingness to sort of step way down into the development and to say, I don't like that plastic. It's got to be it's a different color white than that. Like,
right.
I don't like that.
Right, right.
And so we don't see the CEO of Bank of America coming down and saying, I don't like the font we're using on that
right, right.
check that we're sending out to someone. It needs to be different.
Do you have any sense of whether he is able to impart lessons to people of what he does so well to people like, Tim Cook or mm-hmm. Jonathan Ive? Mm-hmm. I mean, is that something that the company itself can internalize, do you feel? Or mm-hmm. is there something, unique about that vision, even getting down to when is the right time
yeah.
and how do you launch a tablet computer like yeah. they did with the iPad?
From a leadership perspective, even a management perspective, it's really hard to build a system that can repeatedly do that thing if he's not articulate about why it is that we do that. And so what Apple needs to do or needs to have done or needs to prove to us that they've done is that they've built a system that would make the same decision that Steve Jobs would have made, even if he's not there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so, but that's hard to do because in some ways, then you have to build your own obsolescence as a leader.
Right.
And so
right.
you're,
it's an excellent
and so that's it's a scary place to be, I think. And I think he grooves on the ego and he grooves on that stuff. And so it's probably really, really hard for him to do that.
Right.
Also, if you think everyone is stupid
right.
in the world or lazy, then it is really hard also to show them how to make the decisions instead of just telling them what to do.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on to Google. That was an interesting, I think, surprise
yeah.
move that took a lot of people by surprise, and I think maybe...
But they've always been surprising everyone,
right.
haven't they?
And if anything, I think...
They can't do anything in a normal way.
Exactly. I think, if anything, the main criticism of the company in recent months has been that they haven't been surprising enough, especially
yeah.
as you've had Facebook and certainly talking about Apple, really see some exciting things out of them. So clearly this was meant to, they had been talking about it for some time, clearly meant to kind of shake up the environment mm-hmm. at Google.
Mm-hmm.
There was, had even been talked that it was on the course to become the next Microsoft, and,
mm-hmm.
and you don't want to hit that kind
that's,
of plateau.
That's fighting words, right?
That's right, exactly. So, any thoughts just on, bringing that one of the original founders back in mm-hmm. now as CEO, because they're very,
yeah.
different roles.
That's right. What usually happens in early stage companies is that you almost have to take them away from the founder, because the founder is so interested in search and so interested in those things that they're not going to scale. They're not going to see there's some other use of this thing, which the founder may think of like, oh my God, I can't believe they would want to use it for that. But that's where the value is created. And so you have the adult step in and take it in that direction and move it up in that way. But then the trick is, how do I keep the founder's energy and the founder's ideals in the system? And so in a number of companies, even I would say even for Google, so there was, to Steve Jobs, there was a Steve Wozniak. And Steve Wozniak was the actual the Mozart of digital design, as people have called him, who, he designed the first Apple computer as, I don't know how he must have been, 16 or 17 years old. Made all these revolutionary breakthroughs only because he couldn't afford more chips when he went down to Radio Shack. And so he said, well, I can't afford these memory chips, so I have to have some other way of doing it. So he was able to design a computer that way. But you bring in someone who's got the business-like, organizational, COO,
right.
make this thing run cleanly.
Run on time.
That's
kind of
right.
Thing.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And then that sort of frees up a lot of the stuff for the creative to go and do the creative work. And so it may be that by if the train's running on time begins to dominate a little bit in some way, and that message keeps coming down, that people may perceive that. And it may not even be real. It may be that there's a perception created, but that perception makes me not want to look for a job there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm a new young undergrad or a new computer scientist. I may not want to look for a job there. It makes me start to value their stock in a certain way that that is focused more on repeatability than on surprisability. And so then those things, the whole environment's created that may be problematic in that way. And so that's a big signal to come back and say, look, I'm going to take the lead again. Because there's probably not some big secret thing that he's going to think of.
Right, exactly. Well, great. Well, David, I really appreciate your...
I really appreciate being asked to talk about it because I love talking about this stuff, and we'll see what happens.
Sounds good.
All right.